Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today, we are in the book of 1 Corinthians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and download the study guide to help you dig deeper. You can do these lessons on your own, with your women's church group, or gather some friends and learn together. These are some great discipleship tools. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, welcome back to our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, ladies. Today is day 11, and we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. I've titled this lesson, You Are Not Your Own. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never! Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So Paul starts out today with the phrase, all things are lawful for me, and that pretty much seems to sum up the Corinthians' claims. It may even have been a saying they had actually adopted to justify whatever they wanted to do. This was their fallback position whenever they were challenged regarding their sin. Paul grabs that and expands it, pointing out their sin as he does so. What the Corinthians were advocating was a type of free or cheap grace. Basically, they were saying that since they have freedom in Christ, then they can do whatever they want to and it's all good. Freedom, right? Free means free, right? Wrong. Paul shows how their argument fails to address what the real issue is, and he's exposing their arrogance at the same time. Here's how the Holman Christian Bible renders verse 12. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is helpful. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be brought under the control of anything. I really think this gets at what is going on here, control. There's an element of restraint that the Corinthians seem to find distasteful and even despise. Their attitude is one of no restraint, but sadly, that actually goes along with enslavement to sin. Sin will exert its influence over men who will become slaves to it. Paul continues to rebut their argument that food is made for the stomach and the stomach for food. They're using this argument to dismiss concern at their sexual immorality. Now, it might seem like a reach, but look at the argument Paul makes here. Basically, the Corinthians were claiming biological urges are always good. All of them. And they should always be sated whenever you feel the urge. Whether it's your stomach or your sexual appetites. If you feel an urge, well, they claim that you should feed that urge. Paul doesn't mince any words here. He clearly contradicts this line of thinking by saying that God will destroy both the food and the eater because he is the one who created them both and he has ordained their use and function. Misuse of what God has ordained has real consequences. Paul then directly attacks their flawed logic and points out that their first premise is in error. The body is not made for food, nor is the body made for the gratification of immoral sexual urges. The body, as Paul says, is an offering of worship to God. The body is meant for God, and God is meant for the body. Now that one, I will admit, threw me a little bit off. What in the world could that mean, that God is meant for the body? So I did some digging. Now, in light of the next few verses, as well as the past context, people much smarter than I am have come to this conclusion, and this makes so much sense. So our salvation is not purely spiritual, although that is the most important part. But ours is a bodily resurrection, just as Christ's was. God intended to save not just the soul, but the body as well. And he will one day raise our bodies from the grave, and they will be raised imperishable. The end of the body of a believer is not destruction, but resurrection to enjoy the new heavens and the new earth with Christ. Those who die before Christ returns, just to be clear, will pass immediately into glory, but their bodies will rest in the grave until Christ returns and reunites us with our new bodies. Now, Paul is going to expand on this more later in these letters to the Corinthians, but that phrase, God is meant for the body, isn't a throwaway one just to complete some pattern that Paul arbitrarily created. It's true. Now, look at the next verses and see how this all builds together. Our bodies will be raised as Christ's physical body was raised on the last day, and our bodies will be reunited with our souls. And God is the one who will do this. Our bodies, therefore, are more than just bodies. Knowing they will be raised, we already have an argument against sexual immorality, but Paul isn't done. Our bodies are members of Christ, and that's a huge deal. Should we then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? No. There's a unique aspect to sexual intimacy, ladies, and we need to be clear on that. As it is written all the way back in Genesis 2:24, from the beginning of their existence, male and female will become one flesh. There's more than just a physical component to that. Knowing that we as members of Christ have been joined to Christ, how dare we take what is part of Christ and use it in such a way as to degrade and defile him? We are one with Christ. We are one with him and with his spirit within us. When our bodies are used for sexually immoral purposes, we're uniting God with that sin. God has only ordained one appropriate way to express sexuality, and that is between a husband and a wife. When we one flesh in any way outside of God's parameters, we're engaged in prostitution. It really is, in a very real way, degrading and debasing the very Savior that we claim to love. And Paul doesn't give any option for excuses here. None. We are to flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin we see here clearly, as Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us, every other sin is different. But sexual immorality is against your own body, bringing consequences to your life and your relationship with God that are severe, not just spiritually. And part of the culture of Corinth, which was present for these people, as well as potentially part of their pasts before Christ, included the temple of Aphrodite, where worship of this pagan goddess involved sexual immorality. The connection between idolatry and sexual defilement should have been clear to these people, and Paul calls it what it is. By the way Paul reasons here, there may have been a connection with the Corinthian church's view of sexuality and potentially misunderstanding the end times and heaven. They may have seen sexuality as being only for this life, which there is truth in that there will be no marriage in heaven and there will be no babies born in heaven because the full number of those who are God's will already be there. But they took this idea to the wrong conclusion. They may have considered the body as totally outside of spiritual matters, so they discounted sexual immorality as even being important. Regardless, they were wrong. Our whole bodies are united with Christ, so physical sin isn't merely physical, and it isn't merely spiritual. It's all the way deadly. Ladies, the key part, I think, in this section is the words, "You are not your own." You aren't your own. No longer is it you out for yourself with no one to answer to. Generally in Scripture, the idea of the temple being the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit and for God is a corporate concept. The entire corporate body of Christ is a holy temple and a spiritual house. Paul is narrowing the focus here, and it's still applicable because of the specific sin of this church. That's why he's narrowing that focus. Your own body itself is an individual, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is given to you by God. Would fornication and adultery or any other sexual sin be overlooked if it occurred in the Holy of Holies, in the temple where people worshipped in? Yet as we are the indwelt Holy of Holies, when we engage in sexual immorality, that's exactly what we're doing. Ladies, you were bought with a price. Literally, you were purchased as a follower of Christ by the blood of your Redeemer. And the only one who could pay that price was Christ, God in the flesh. Otherwise, the price wouldn't be sufficient. No other sacrifice would do. None. Only the blood of a perfect sacrifice would work. And the only one who ever met that criteria was Christ. That information, by the way, should not make you think about how valuable you are to Christ. Now, while it's true that Christ does love his people and he did give himself up for them, what you need to understand is that his death on the cross was necessary because of how vile your sin and mine truly was. It's because of how reprehensible our sin is that Christ had to die, and that he had to die and bear God's wrath in our place. That's a huge deal. Now, Christ considered it joy to offer himself for us, scorning the shame of the cross, and that's true, absolutely. But don't lose sight of the fact that it was your own reprehensible sin that made the death of God on the cross necessary. Honor God, ladies, and honor him with your bodies, not excusing your sin, but repenting and being made clean by him and fleeing from sexual immorality. God takes sexual immorality extremely seriously, as we see here. Paul is making this clear because these people need to understand what they are really doing. Sexual immorality, ladies, is a big deal. Although our culture would have you think that it is everything from a biological urge that you can't control, so why should we bother expecting you to, or an identity to proclaim to anyone who will listen. It isn't popular to say this, but it's true. There are some sins that God does take more seriously than others, and this is one of those. Knowing that, we should be so much more careful to understand why God takes these so seriously and what the implications should be in our lives. Paul warns the Corinthian believers and us at the end here, because you were bought with a price, glorify God with your body. Not just be honoring, but bring glory to God with your body. Don't use your body for debased purposes. Your body isn't your own anymore. Bring glory to God with how you use your body, with how you dress, how you invite attention. And I'm not going to spell that out. You ladies do know what I'm talking about. And what you use your body for. It matters to God. And if it matters to God, your master, it should matter to you as well. So my questions for us today. How can you use your body to glorify God? How might you be using your body to bring dishonor to God? Now, I'm not looking to create a set of rules about how long your skirt should be or how high your blouse should cover, but really, ask yourself this and ask God to help you to see what you might be doing to use your body for dishonorable purposes. Do you, daughter of a king, understand that you are not your own? That your very body is precious to God and he wants you to use it for his glory? Know that God doesn't just want part of your life. He doesn't just want an hour on Sundays. He wants your whole life, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Bring glory to your king, ladies, with your body. The price paid for you was immense. Don't take it for granted. Ladies, you'll find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of the website naomistable.com, day 11. You are not your own.